Good evening. It's good to see each one of you here. I know our brother prepared. I hope you have prepared as well. You might be fed at the words that God has given him this night. So I give you our speaker, our brother Jerry Case.
Phone. Can you hear me now? Is that the sound okay? It's a great pleasure for me to stand before you tonight, to stand in the service of the Lord. I do want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. Tonight I want to share a few of the thoughts that have kind of guided me as a father. There's a story in here I want to read a little bit about that may not seem to apply in a way, but for some reason the Lord's impressed it very strongly upon me. And I think it has to do with each of you considering the influence that you have on this earth as a vessel of the Lord. In his service, the things that can be accomplished by his power and not by ours. It's a little difficult for me to know where to start tonight. Maybe for clarity, I'll start the same place my father did this morning. I had the great pleasure of assisting my father. He preached on phone church this morning, so that was kind of a nice thing to do on Father's Day. He started with Matthew 23. And I think that it helps carry the message I want to bring to you tonight also. Matthew 23, verse 8 through 10. It says, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." I learned early on even when Amy was first born, I did a lot of praying. I wasn't married till I was 26. And it's funny how I look back now, and I feel like I was just a child. Marlene Cobb sent Cindy and I a picture that she had taken at a camp for all ages in Missouri. And it's kind of through a crowd, and Cindy and I are sitting on a bench, kind of right through the center in the back. You can kind of see us, and I look and I say, that was like just a few months after we were married, and I was looking and saying, we were just kids. But there's two things I discovered. Life goes fast. I used to hear my grandfather talk about it, and it didn't mean as much to me, but now I really believe it. As I approach 60, as 60's crawling all over the top of me, I realize, wow, it's gone fast. And the other thing, in answer to my prayers, when I was faced with the overwhelming task of being a parent, the Lord taught me that it was something that's beyond a man. The responsibility of being a parent is about submission to God. I know I've said this before, we're not trying to raise good children. We're trying to raise good adults. We're trying to raise good parents. We're trying to provide them with a rock to stand on that outlives us, one that will last forever. And so that's what I want to talk about today. If I would title my sermon, I think I would borrow from one of the songs that was sang at the funeral yesterday. It's just some of the words that were out of the middle of the song. It says, "Oh Lord, show me the way." I think I'll jump over to page 194 in Enos in the Book of Mormon. 194 in my, did I say that right? Yeah, 194 in my book. Enos, first chapter, first verse. Starting right at the top. "Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in the language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart, and my soul hungered. And I knelt down before my Maker and cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all that day did I cry unto him, yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, and I saith, Lord, how is it done? And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen." Because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. That is the task of fathers, is to give their children that Christ, that rock. Let me before I go there, I think I'm going to go over to 1 Nephi first. Because I think is a vision that's been in my heart the whole time I've been a father. 1 Nephi, 2nd chapter. I'm going to start with verse 48. It's on page 20 in my book. Verse 48. "And it came to pass that after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever had before tasted. Yea, and behold, I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore, I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaking the fruit. And I looked to behold from whence it came, and I saw the head thereof a little way off. And at the head thereof I beheld your mother, Sariah, and Sam and Nephi, and they stood as if they knew not whether they should go. And it came to pass that I beckoned unto them, and I also did say unto them with a loud voice that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit, which was desirable above all other fruit. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. And it came to pass that I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast mine eyes toward the head of the river, and perhaps I might see them. And it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I just, if I just take out that clip, for some reason I always felt the dilemma that Lehi must have felt in seeing these things, loving his whole family, including Laman and Lemuel, seeing that Nephi and Sam and his wife came to partake of the fruit, but Laman and Lemuel weren't coming to partake of the fruit. What does the father do? What does a father do? And it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. That was verse 61. Verse 62, and I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and it led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto the large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led into the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood, as it were, in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes feeling their way toward that great and spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that did enter into that strange building. And after that they had entered into that building, they did point the finger of scorn at me and those that were partaking of the fruit also. But we heeded them not. These are the words of my father, for as many as heeded them had fallen away. And Laman and Lemuel partook not of the fruit, saith my father. It's not a new story to you. Many of you, your entire life, you've heard of the vision of Lehi and the vision of Nephi. Some of you are newer and you've heard it for a shorter period of time. What was the fruit that they were struggling forth to partake of? Do you remember? It was the love of God. What was the rod of iron? It was the word of God. Matthew 24. For brevity, I'm just going to start with verse 32 of Matthew 24. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this is the generation, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's hard to imagine anything that doesn't pass away. Everything we know passes away. But in the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He was before all this that we see. He was before us. He created us. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away. That is the task of fathers. The harder part of it is that, how do we do it? Can I clasp hold of the rod of iron and then get a hold of my kids by the nape of the neck? That's not what it says. They have to get a hold of it. They have to grasp it with their hand, with their flesh. They have to latch on to it. It's funny, I feel the sting of that inability. That it's about the work of the Holy Spirit within your kids. It's about you presenting them in any way you know how. Teaching them the truth. Making sure that opportunity is presented before them. I remember an argument, and one of the answers that I heard Nicholas Denham give many times years ago, and it was about how lenient you should be with your kids. And they were saying, you know, the kids, they can't make a choice if you force them to do things. And Nicholas's point was, in this earth, no matter what you do, your kids are presented with the world. They don't have a choice. And you don't have control over that. But you can present them with the alternative. You can teach them the words of God. You can show them where to partake of it. And even as I've sat and studied with my grandson, that same sting comes to me, knowing that in the end, it has to be like it was for Enos, that he himself had to bow himself before the Lord and pray in earnest. He had to seek out and find. His father showed him where, and he remembered the words of his father. But Enos had to do it. He had to make the choice. I'm not going to read all this to you, but there's something that's been real strong on my heart, and it's the story of Hezekiah the king. He was a king in Jerusalem. The king before him had shut up the doors of the temple and built altars unto other gods throughout the city. And when Hezekiah came to power, he was 25 years old. You find the story in the 2 Chronicles, the 29th, 30th, and 31st 29th, 30th, and 31st chapters of 2 Chronicles tell all about what the reign of Hezekiah was about. You'll also find it 2 Kings in the 20th chapter. What I want to read about is something else that happened. And this is in Isaiah. Hezekiah lived during the prophecies of Isaiah. He communicated with Isaiah. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." I started with the first verse. And Isaiah to the prophet of the son of Amos came unto him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord unto Hezekiah, unto Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sun dial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." I know that sounds a little confusing, but the sundial out in the yard showing what time of day it was, from the rotation of the earth and the shining of the sun, it cast a shadow. And the Lord caused that to go backward 10 degrees as a sign that he would do what he promised to do for Hezekiah and for the city. And I know that I'm not a king. Hezekiah was a king. Just being sure, I don't think any of you are kings. And I think sometimes we have excuses. And we think, you know, I don't have the power. that God could use me this way. But I want to tell you that you do. I want to tell you that the power of the Lord is great. And if your heart fails from hearing the news, seeing the things that are going on today, don't diminish your understanding of God's power. Have faith. I want to read, I'm going to jump over a little bit. After this had happened to Hezekiah, it goes back and reviews Hezekiah's writings during this time that he was sick. And I want to read a little bit of his writings. They're later on in the same chapter. I guess I'll start with verse 10. Again, this is the 38th chapter of Isaiah. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness, from day even to night will thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Overtake for me. O Lord, I am oppressed. Overtake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children should make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah has said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? As you read, you know, I kind of gave you where to find the stories of Hezekiah and his reign. Part of why I wanted to read this is I wanted you to understand where his soul was. That he was drawn down into absolute submission before the Lord. Like in my words, I'd say, like the rat struggles once the trap has already sprung. You try, but you don't have the power. You can't save yourself. This was the state of his soul. and the Lord saved him, gave him 15 years more of life, and also gave that blessing to the city. You have to understand that as you read in the story of Hezekiah, when the armies came against him, the Lord intervened. The Lord protected them as long as he was king. And when he made this promise that he would give him 15 more years, he said that he would continue to bless the kingdom during his reign. There's a couple things that you find. I believe it's in the 30th chapter. But if you start any of them, if you go and read, starting with that 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles, it talks about how the first thing he did, like day one, was to go and open the doors of the temple and repair them, and to go in and to bring back the Levites and bring them into the temple and the priests, and they had them to cleanse the temple every bit. It took days. Take all the unclean things out of there. They worked till the temple was clean, and it was once again open for the people to go in and to bow down and to worship before the Lord. And it describes in great detail all the sacrifices that he had brought in and given and sacrificed unto the Lord at that time. After the temple was open and clean, it talks about also the Levites sanctifying themselves, you know, that going before the Lord and praying. But he helped the kingdom to repent, to turn about, in spite of the things that had gone on before his reign. He changed it. How old did I say he was? 25. In my eyes, that seems pretty young. He was 25. After he did that, he had him go throughout Jerusalem and tear down all the idols. And it said that he had all the leaders gathered together, and that he and all of the leadership, he had to bow down before the Lord. And I believe that is the reflection of our job as a father. To help our sons and our daughters make the right choices. Help them to be a leader on this earth, not a follower. Not a follower of this world. But to take leadership by bowing down before the Lord, by being that kind of an example. An example that the whole world needs. And this is a change that Hezekiah brought back, and why it was not really a strange thing that the Lord should answer his prayer and that the Lord should love him. I guess in the way, it's Father's Day. And though it may be tempting to get up and kind of praise fathers, there's one father to praise. That's our job, is to teach that. There is one father to praise. It's our Father in heaven. That's the thing that we can give our children that does not pass away with us. They can take a hold of God's word, and even if heaven and earth passes away, that word will never pass away. I'm not sure why King Hezekiah has been on my mind so much. perhaps my kids will remember, there was a space of about 6 years that I went through that I was, well, this is about the time we moved to Cincinnati, about 4 years maybe, that I was sick before I moved to Cincinnati, and then 2 years after I moved there. And I was so sick. I can remember being asked to preach, and I came to preach. This is in Missouri. And Alvin would send somebody back to the bathroom to see if I was okay, because it was time to preach. And I'd say, have him sing another song. I'll be right there. That gets pretty frustrating when it goes on for that kind of period of time. I talked to my wife about just the thing that Isaiah said to him about setting our house in order. Because I didn't know how long I would live. I just kept getting weaker all during that time. It's funny, I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe a blessing. Moved to Cincinnati, started up a new job there, still sick. And my doctor, after trying to treat me for a little while, finally ended up putting me in a special study of a new medication. One that, by the way, never made the market. They end up giving up because the effectiveness didn't seem to have the right numbers to make a profit with it. But I was in that study for maybe a year and a half, and after I quit the medication, I was well. It's funny, you think a lot of things when you go to move. I really didn't know that would happen. But the Lord blessed me, and He healed me. That was. Something like that. I can't tell you the number of times I felt like I was turned with my face against the wall, praying. And feeling like I did not have the power. I needed His help desperately. And He's given me these years. And I'm very grateful. It's kind of neat, too, to say I don't have the symptoms. And I haven't for years. The Lord is great. But He is the Lord, not I. He is the Lord, not I.